Okay, so this is the part of class where we're actually looking at the document itself. If I can find it, Durban, that's Mandela. Oh, there we go. Huge numbers of different subjects, but I want to look at line 365. And so I'm going to read an extract from you there and look at the question of how one might comment on this one. 365.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. The progress of the Indians towards civilization. I'm going to read the whole thing and then I will come back to it. The progress of the Indians towards civilization, though not rapid, is perhaps all that could be hoped for in view of the circumstances. Within the past year, many tribes have shown, in a degree greater than ever before, an appreciation of the necessity of work. This changed attitude is in part due to the policy recently pursued of reducing the amount of subsistence to the Indians, and thus forcing them, through sheer necessity, to work for a livelihood. The policy, though severe, is a useful one, but it is to be exercised only with judgments and with a full understanding of the conditions which exist in each community for which it is intended. On or near the Indian reservations, there is usually very little demand for labour, and if the Indians are to earn their living, and when work cannot be furnished from outside, which is always preferable, then it must be furnished by the government. Practical instruction of this kind would in a few years result in the forming of habits of regular industry, which would render the Indian a producer and would effect a great reduction in the cost of his maintenance. It is commonly declared that the slow advance of the Indians is due to the unsatisfactory character of the men appointed to take immediately charge of them. And to some extent this is true. While the standard of the employees in the Indian service show great improvement over that of bygone years, and while actual corruption or flagrant dishonesty is now the rare exception, it is nevertheless the fact that the salaries paid Indian agents are not large enough to attract the best men to that field of work. To achieve satisfactory results, the official in charge of an Indian tribe should possess the high qualifications which are required in the manager of a large business. But only in exceptional cases is it possible to secure men of such a type for these positions. Much better service, however, might be obtained from those now holding the places, were it practicable to get out of them the best that is in them. And this should be done by bringing them constantly into closer touch with their superior officers. An agent who has been content to draw his salary, giving in return the least possible equivalent in effort and service, may, by proper treatment, by suggestion and encouragement, or persistent urging, be stimulated to greater effort and induced to take a more active personal interest in his work. Under existing conditions, an Indian agent in the distant West may be wholly out of touch with the office of the Indian Bureau. He may very well feel that no one takes a personal interest in him or his efforts. Certain routine duties in the way of reports and accounts are required of him, but there is no one with whom he may intelligently consult on matters vital to his work, except after long delay. Such a man will be greatly encouraged and aided by personal contact with someone whose interest in Indian affairs and whose authority in the Indian Bureau were greater than his own, and such content would be certain to arouse and constantly increase the interest he takes in his work. The distance which separates the agents, the workers in the field, from the Indian office in Washington is a chief obstacle to Indian progress. Whatever shall more closely unite these two branches of the Indian service and shall enable them to cooperate more heartily and more effectively will be for the increased efficiency of the work and the betterment of the race for whose improvement the Indian Bureau was established. the appointment of a field assistant to the Commissioner of Indian Affairs would be certain to ensure this good end. Such an official, if possessed of the requisite energy and deep interest in the work, would be a most efficient factor in bringing into closer relationship and a more direct union of effort the Bureau in Washington and its agents in the field. And with the cooperation of its branches thus secured, the Indian Bureau would, in measure fuller than ever before, lift up the savage towards that self-help and self-reliance which constitute the man. Okay, just a moment and I will do some commenting on that. Okay, first of all, do you have any immediate questions? Questions? What on earth is he talking about? Okay, listen, let me do something different today, and let me imagine that I am obliged to comment on this because I'm passing my third year oral. Now, this is cheating, of course, because I've had 50 years experience, which is cheating. On the other hand, I haven't prepared it. I'm just going to improvise. And just to give you some ideas of what I recommend you should do with this. So, I'm imagining. It might not work, but it might, yeah. Okay, this appears to be an extract from the President Roosevelt's fourth annual message. So it's marked in 1904, and indeed he became president in 1901 when his predecessor was assassinated. The annual messages will become more important. They're provided for in the United States Constitution. The president is obliged to report back regularly to Congress. And these annual messages will later become the State of the Union message, which even today is news. The day every year when the